Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is part two of today's Q&A with Layla. This is a weekly session in which we answer your questions. You can email us your questions to radioprogram@aol.com. And Layla, what's our next question, please?
Our next question comes from Chris. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. So thankful for your show and all that it's done for my health.
That's great to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. What can I do about the horrible side effects of prednisone? I have to take 10 milligrams a day, and I remember taking it before, more specifically the insomnia and the mood swings.
Yeah.
Anything I could do about that?
Okay. Well, this is, there's not a cookbook answer to this, but let's approach it first from the standpoint of, can we lower the dose of prednisone? And the way that would depend on the condition that we're addressing. And usually prednisone is used to treat inflammatory conditions, so we would probably try to introduce natural anti-inflammatories or address the cause of the problem.
Disc. This
okay,
is
so
disc
that's a that's very much a physical problem. And in the case of a herniated disc, I might use high doses of what are called proteolytic enzymes. I might use Wobenzyme, which can be used with the prednisone. I would use, you know, three or four, three times daily. That you would have to take away from meals on an empty stomach because it actually helps to reduce swelling and inflammation. It's good for injuries. So that would be important to do, number one. Number two, you know, take a lot of fish oil because fish oil is anti-inflammatory and has actually been shown to help with back pain and inflammation. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, a ruptured disc is, you know, it's a very clear-cut physical problem. It's not just a muscle pull. So the other thing, you know, use other anti-inflammatories. I would use lots of curcumin. I have a patient now with rheumatoid arthritis. We're giving her six curcumins a day.
Yeah,
and we're giving her some boswellin, and I think resveratrol might offer some prospect of anti-inflammatory. Think of any other anti-inflammatories that we might
use? I'm thinking of Caprex.
Very good.
Comfort.
Thank you for reminding me about that. Tell us about that supplement. It's hops-based, right?
Yes, and what it could do is to help reduce inflammation over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to work like your typical NSAID.
Yeah, and that's good because NSAIDs can be very harmful to the gastrointestinal tract. Yeah,
exactly. It can cause a GI bleed. So taking something like Caprex might be helpful. But
for our listeners, it's spelled Caprex.
Mm-hmm.
And go to drhoffman.com if you hear like something that is obscure and look it up. And most likely we'll have a description of it in our store.
So I often see you prescribe phosphatidylcholine for anybody who's tapering off of prednisone.
Okay, so phosphatidylcholine can play a role in helping people taper off of prednisone. So that's something that can offer a bit of a steroid bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, and just keep in mind, what are some of the side effects of prednisone? Well, prednisone tends to disrupt the production of melatonin, and it can affect sleep quality. So we must give melatonin and replace the melatonin that's not being properly made so that patients can get better sleep quality. That's number one. Number two, whenever you take prednisone, your DHEA plummets. It's a feedback inhibition of your adrenals, and it shuts off your own cortisol production, but also shuts off your DHEA production. And DHEA is a very nice anti-inflammatory, plus it helps with mood. You know, you talk about moodiness and problems that she's having because of, you know, depression associated with use of prednisone, very common. And the DHEA can act as sort of an antidote to that, and, you know, taking that can help inflammation. So I generally like to suggest that DHEA be monitored by someone, a health professional on the outside.
Yes.
And so, you know, self-administering, you can, because it's available at health food stores, you can purchase it, but I really...
But you want to know your levels first.
Yes.
That's the best way to do it.
But most assuredly, her levels will be negligible if she's taking prednisone.
Yeah.
So it's almost certain that she'll need some DHEA. And then, you know, the other thing is just keep in mind that the main effect of prednisone is that it is going to cause some osteoporosis. So you need to take D and some bone supportive nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
by
can
the way,
move D, somebody towards diabetes.
Right.
Possibly.
And then take possibly some chromium to help reduce the insulin resistance that prednisone causes. You know, consider CM-Core, which is something that reduces insulin resistance. That's a good supplement to combat insulin resistance. And, you know, even if you're not fat, when you take prednisone, you can develop insulin resistance, and your hemoglobin A1C will go up, your blood sugars will go up. That's part of what it does. So there, I think you have a pretty good discussion, and that's how we would think about a patient like this if they were to come to the Hoffman Center. But more than that, I would, you know, in working up a case like this, we'd say, gee, let's say this person has rheumatoid arthritis, or let's say this person has ulcerative colitis. Let's change the diet so there's less inflammation, and then there's less need, possibly, for the anti-inflammatory. And then they can, you know, we can taper them or wean them from the prednisone very slowly and carefully because you can't go up right away. And then, you know, move forward.
Yeah. All right. Best of luck to Chris.
Yeah, indeed.
We've got another question from, I don't see a name here. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Silent reflux, throat burn are a topic of great interest since there are so many sufferers downing PPIs looking to cure, looking for a cure for throat burn or GERD. I think the blanket use of PPIs for every gut problem is not the answer and just plain wrong. So I want to know, what do you think about the FODMAPs?
Okay. Well, when I send patients down the hall with instructions to be on the FODMAPs diet, you're the one who fills in the blanks. So tell us what that is.
The FODMAPs are it's an acronym for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols.
That's a mouthful. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. Exactly.
Wait. Is that how you earned your master's degree, by being able to say that?
No, I had to create more acronyms, and then I had to...
I think you should get an MA just for being able to say that.
That's exactly. Amazing. Right. So I think what this person is talking about is the frequent use of proton pump inhibitors, Nexium, Prilosec, all of these for GERD, heartburn. It often will cause SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
That's another acronym.
Right, SIBO. So because of the SIBO, that causes problems further down the GI tract because it makes it more alkaline and more prone for bad bacteria or opportunistic bacteria to grow. Mm-hmm. So the FODMAPs diet is helpful by eliminating the foods containing the fermentable oligosaccharides and so forth. Can help, but by eliminating them, we're not feeding the bad bacteria anymore.
Right.
And it can give it a chance to go away, among other things that we would give them.
We might give them botanicals for SIBO. Lately, I'm using a lot of candibactin, which is a two-part nutraceutical program for eradicating candida, but also targeting SIBO. Because I think, you know, in the 20th century, way back then, we used to talk about candida-yeast connection. I think now we're developing a more sophisticated understanding of this, is that, yes, yeast is part of this, but also bacterial overgrowth is part of what makes people feel this way. And so we use botanicals that are broad spectrum that have an antifungal effect, but also have an antimicrobial effect and can suppress the growth of harmful bacteria, the small intestine bacterial overgrowth of the SIBO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the elimination of FODMAPs, taking botanicals are helpful. Another one comes to mind is biocidin. Some people need that antibiotic, Rifaximin.
Right, and there's a prescription antibiotic that's targeted to that. But I got to say,
expensive.
Very expensive, often not covered by insurance. And what happens is we'll prescribe it at a dose that we think is effective, and then the pharmacy will reject it and say, no, take it at a lower dose. And we find that lower dose is a lot of treatment failure.
Okay, so we like the FODMAPs diet.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately we're finding out that some that just have...
Well, tell us, what is it... What does a diet consist of? I'm sorry to interrupt, but which I always do.
it's really just removing certain foods. Gluten is one of them, and certainly sugars is another. But there are certain fruits and vegetables to eliminate. Believe it or not, the vegetables like asparagus, broccoli, cabbage, garlic, onions. But these foods are healthy, right? Well, if you've got SIBO, you may be better off with not those vegetables, but other vegetables for a while. Like carrots or celery or green beans, zucchini, things of that nature. So we're basically singling out the foods that have these fermentable qualities to them.
And what I tell patients is that the FODMAPs program doesn't mean that you have to eliminate all these foods forever.
No.
Each letter stands for a subcategory of types of foods that may or may not cause your problem. So a patient who has... SIBO or GERD or bloating or irritable bowel syndrome, may respond by eliminating the F, the D, and the S.
Yeah.
And the others are okay based on trial and error.
Yeah,
So I think it's not like...
Some people just do well eliminating gluten.
Yeah.
Gluten is a FODMAP.
It is. So it's part of the... It's a fructan. Mm-hmm. It's part of the F, under the F category. Right.
Yes.
And it's not because they're allergic. It's because of something about the physical characteristic of the wheat and its digestibility or lack thereof for that patient.
Yeah. Well, it could be the Roundup they use
that too,
before the harvester comes around to...
Yep.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic. Anyway.
Absolutely.
So, yes, we like the FODMAPs. And I was starting to say just earlier, for people with intractable SIBO, the SIBO that's just not going away, we will even go further to put them on the specific carbohydrate diet. And that's actually recommended by Ann Seebecker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is an expert. If you want to learn more about SIBO, go to SIBOinfo.org.
That's SIBOinfo.org.
And she really is very generous about sharing her knowledge about SIBO. Which it's not like she says, look, I've got some secret protocol and, you know, come to my office and spend thousands of dollars and we'll fix you. She just, you know, offers as much information as she can. You know, however, it's complicated and, you know, it's kind of like somebody teaching you how to play championship basketball. You know, the instructions are there, but you may need some coaching.
Right. Okay. Next question. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, can you recommend supplements for strengthening and thickening hair? And this question comes from Joanne. She also is asking whether L-cysteine should be taken on an empty stomach, or can it be taken with food? And I'm not seeing the relation between L-cysteine and thickening hair.
Oh, no.
It's
a sulfur-containing amino acid. So,
you know,
when you burn hair, when your hair gets accidentally burned, it smells like a match smell. And it's the sulfur that's being liberated. So hair consists to a large extent of these sulfur-containing amino acids. So one of the building blocks for hair might be L-cysteine, which is a sulfur-containing amino acid. Of course, there's so many reasons why people lose hair, and it's only the minority of times that it's just about nutrition. So some people, you know, it's like kind of like when you have a plant that's not growing, if you put Miracle-Gro on the plant, well, it might grow, but it might be that there's not enough water or that, you know, there's not enough sun or any number of factors, and you can put all the Miracle-Gro in the world on the plant, it's not going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, so with people who are infinitely more complex than plants, there's a multitude of reasons why people don't have good hair. Some of it's nutritional. So, of course, the big sensation, and I think I really created a sensation because I wrote about six new supplements that I'm excited about, and one of them is called He Shu Wu, which is actually one of the most ancient supplements around. It's been used for millennia in China.
And it's fun to say He Shu Wu.
He Shu Wu, yeah, right. And I think it means Mr. Wu has dark hair. I think that's the translation roughly. And it's a tonic. So it's, you know, really some herbalists might think it frivolous to use it to make you grow your hair because really it's designed as something like a wonderful overall constitutional pep me up. And it's valued as such in China for thousands of years, part of the traditional Chinese medicine armamentarium. But the consequence of taking it for a lot of people is darker, thicker hair. And no, if you're bald, you have a completely bald pate, it's not going to make you sprout hair, but it may help support your hair growth. And so the funny part of it is I wrote this article, and I wrote about these things, these marvelous things for the brain, and I wrote about, you know, supplements for the heart. But the one that, you know, then I went to the dispensary, I said, well, people, you know, any interest, anybody asking about these supplements? And they said, oh, the hair thing, it's going through the roof. And I said, what about the other things? Not so much. So I guess, you know, you can cure heart disease, you can cure, you know, come up with an antidote to Alzheimer's. That's not a big, but hair.
Here's the thing. You can't see heart disease, but you can see thinning hair.
Yes.
So people respond immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, anyway, it's He Shu Wu, And here, I just mentioned, a lot of people would say, well, it's a Chinese herb. And who wants to get a Chinese herb in this day and age when Chinese herbs are so in disrepute and they've had all kinds of scandals with adulteration and with spiking with medications and, you know, cadmium and arsenic and lead and all this bad stuff.
Yeah.
So we came across a company. That's called Ron Tea Gardens Herbs, and it is a very reputable company, and his whole mission statement is to try to make these traditional Chinese herbs available in a form which is and by the way, they have to submit to FDA inspection and good manufacturing principles and transparency, and they have to demonstrate that their things are not toxic. They would have tremendous product liability if things turned out badly.
And that's a good thing.
And that's a good thing. You know, that's actually an example of, you know, where, you know, they say kill the lawyers. Well, the lawyers do, you know, in some ways they keep us safe because it's otherwise it'd be a free fire zone. You know, and so that company is a company that we rely on for our traditional Chinese herbs. And Hishu Wu, we have it. It's available. It's at drhoffman.com.
Yeah.
Hey, just check out my article. It's still posted on the, I think, on page one. It's about six supplements that I really like.
Right, right. So how about some of the other hair strengthening supplements? We also like keratin booster.
Yep.
We like biotin.
Mm-hmm. Biotin like really helps. Biotin helps. You know, actually, the guy who discovered the principles of biotin, his name is Hoffman.
Oh.
Yeah. And
relative?
No. Yeah, just like I wish I was related to, you know, Hoffman LaRoche. People say, oh, you know, you must be like the grandson. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, just practice medicine as a hobby because I'm a billionaire. No, I'm not related. You know, so biotin, it really does help with the cross-linking of collagen, which is important for nails, skin, and hair. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it really works. And for others,
yeah. I think vitamin C is also
vitamin C
helpful.
Could be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But keratin, hyaluronic acid sometimes is helpful for collagen support. Taking it may help the joints. It may help skin tone. Those are some of the things that can make a difference. But look, I mean, you can really mess up your hair in a couple of ways. You could, if you're on a really skimpy diet, like a raw food vegan diet, you know, then you may not be getting enough protein or nutrients, or you may not be getting on a very low fat diet. You might not be getting enough essential fatty acids. We know that animals have the mange lose their hair in clumps when they don't have enough essential fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
So taking omega-3, some flax oil, that could be helpful. We use it for animals.
The other things that we would look at, you know, what is the reason the hair is thinning? Is it stress? We would look at cortisol levels. Is it iron deficiency anemia?
That's very important.
Ferritin.
That's the biggest single thing, and even conventional dermatologists are now aware of this. They test routinely when there's hair loss, they test patients for low iron. You cannot have optimal hair growth with an iron below, a ferritin below 70, so it's thought.
Yeah.
So boosting iron, and that's, again, a problem in young women who are menstruating, and especially when they're on a low protein, low animal fat diet,
or very vegan diet, or something,
which is really common these days, and that's why you know, we're reassured by the new dietary guidelines that may allow people to have some more animal protein.
Joanne makes one other comment, actually, question: will taking birth control pills interfere with the effectiveness of L-cysteine? What comes to mind, Dr. Hoffman, is that a side effect of taking oral contraceptives is hair thinning.
Absolutely, it can be. Yeah.
So that might be the problem, Joanne.
Right. You could say, well, it's interfering with the cysteine. No, it's just plain causing your hair to thin. If you look it up among the side effects of birth control pills, that is one of them. And so you don't know. But it's not, doesn't happen invariably, but it's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay. Best of luck to Joanne.
Do we have time for one quick question?
Quick question. Let's see here.
Is there such a thing?
This comes from Terry. Terry's been diagnosed with undifferentiated connective tissue disease. He or she is on a myriad of supplements and wants to know, is there anything else I could be doing or taking?
Well, I don't know what supplement she's on.
Well, the critical ones.
I don't want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah. Curcumin, ModuCare.
I got to say that's kind of a consult.
It's a consult. And that really
refers to the question earlier, you know, which is you really got to get to the bottom of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And find out, is there a cause? Is there a trigger? Omega-3, vitamin D, I'm thinking of. ModuCare is a product that's helpful for autoimmune disease. We might prescribe low-dose naltrexone for a patient with autoimmune disease. That is a prescription medication, but it's very mild and works in a natural way to support the immune system. Of course, anti-inflammatories like curcumin, boswellin, these are helpful. Mm-hmm. Lots of omega-3 fatty acids, DHEA. That's very helpful for women with lupus, which is a related condition to what she has. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the considerations. And I don't want to go into all the individual details.
Right, right. Okay? The other thing would be looking at diet. If there's gluten sensitivity, casein, which is dairy, we would look there as well. So
absolutely. All right.
Yeah.
So, and you know, in fact, a very common finding in patients with these conditions is leaky gut syndrome. So we would want to repair the gastrointestinal tract and make sure that toxins from bacterial overgrowth or food antigens are not traversing the gastrointestinal wall, going into the systemic circulation, causing mischief in the joints.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
Best of luck to Terry.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, get some coaching, get some medical help and supervision in terms of working out that problem. All right.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is our weekly Q&A with Layla. By the way, I'll remind people that we had some great podcasts lately if you want to get the full story about current controversy over supplements in New York State and the efforts by Attorney General Schneiderman to remove supplements from the shelves of four major retailers. We did a couple of great podcasts last week, and please follow up on them. Also, a recent podcast on natural therapies for colds and flus. You'll want to hear that. And we've got lots and lots of inventory for you. And I urge you to join the campaign, Release the Report. It's a Twitter campaign, hashtag Release the Report. Go on Twitter and tweet at Attorney General Schneiderman, AG Schneiderman, Release the Report. We want to inundate his Twitter account with protests about the undisclosed results of his audit of supplements in New York State. That's a
how dare
important
they
campaign
not disclose the results?
I don't know. It's sort of like
it's ridiculous.
You know, it's like what used to be called a star chamber. It was like, you know, what they used to do in the 16th century in England. They said, "You are accused." Well, what am I accused of? Well, you'll find out. Well, can I see the charges? Well, you're the criminal, so you're not entitled to see the charges. Only we can see the charges. Well, but I need to defend myself. Well, forget about it. You're not going to see the charges. You just have to be interrogated. And, if we decide arbitrarily that you're guilty, you basically go to the guillotine or to you're burned to the stake. Mm. That's not the modern way of doing things, except
absolutely
in the state of New York. I think we've reverted back a few centuries. Release the report. Hashtag release the report. Go to your Twitter account and send your views to the Attorney General. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.